The last few Mishnayos have been elaborating on the various details of the rule that one is only liable for offering up a korban outside the Beis HaMikdash if it is something which is fit, at least on a certain level, to be offered up on the Mizbeach. But if it's a totally invalid korban, such that even if it was offered up on the Mizbeach inside the Beis HaMikdash, in the courtyard, it would be totally invalid and it would need to be taken down from the Mizbeach. So then you would also be exempt if you offered it up outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Two Mishnahs ago, the Mishnah brought an argument between the Chachomim, the Tanakama, the first opinion in the Mishnah, and Rabbi Elazar, regarding one who offers a particular item on a Mizbeach outside the Beis HaMikdash. But this is an item which the service inside the Beis HaMikdash, when it's performed properly, requires that all of it is offered on the Mizbeach, and if only a part of it is offered up, or even the majority of it, and even if it's at least the size of a kazayis, the size of an olive, that's not good enough. Rather, the service of offering this up on the Mizbeach is only valid if all of it is offered up on the Mizbeach. What happens if somebody offers up the size of an olive, a kazayis, of that on the Mizbeach outside of the Beis HaMikdash? So he performed a service which is definitely valid inside the Beis HaMikdash. However, it's only considered to be a part of a service. Is he going to be liable in such case or not? So according to the Chachomim, he is liable in such case. Whereas according to Rabbi Elazar, he is exempt. And this Mishnah is going to bring another couple of examples where this argument plays out. HaKoimetz v'halavina. The handful of flour, which is taken from a flour offering which is being bought by a regular person. The law is when he brings a flour offering, a handful of it is taken and burnt on the Mizbeach, and the remaining part of the flour is given to the Kohanim for them to eat. Now, as well as that, when they would offer up that flour on the Mizbeach and burn it, together with burning that, they would also burn alavina, which is frankincense. They would burn that together with the flour. And both of those things are necessary to be burnt in order to permit the rest of the flour. So they're really considered to be part of one joint service. And the law is, if somebody offers up one of those outside the Beis HaMikdash, chayev, he is liable, even though the entire service of burning both of them is necessary to be considered valid inside the Beis HaMikdash. Since at the end of the day you performed part of that valid service outside, you would be liable. However, Rabbi Elazar says that he is exempt, unless he also offers up the second thing out of those two items outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, having been said, just like we learned a couple of Mishnahs ago, even Rabbi Elazar agrees that if he does the last part of the service outside of the Beis HaMikdash, echad b'fnim v'echad b'chutz, if he already offered up one of those items, for example, the flour inside the Beis HaMikdash, and then he offered up only the frankincense outside the Beis HaMikdash, in that case, chayev, he is liable even according to Rabbi Elazar, because he completed the service, he did the last part of that service outside of the Beis HaMikdash. There's nothing which is still lacking in the service. Now the Mishnah brings another example, and this is regarding a different offering of frankincense. There were 12 very, very large loaves of bread, which were placed on the shulchan, which was a sort of stacked table inside the heichal, inside the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And there were 12 loaves of bread, the lechem aponim, which were there, and every Shabbos they were replaced. And on this shulchan, this stacked table, there were the loaves, and next to the loaves were shnei bozichei levoina, two spoonfuls of frankincense. And when they replaced the lechem aponim every Shabbos, they would offer these two spoons of frankincense on the Mizbeach. And in order for this service to be considered valid, all of the frankincense had to be offered up on the Mizbeach. So we've got a very similar argument over here, shnei bozichei levoina. The two spoonfuls of frankincense, shehik v'zechon en bachutz, if somebody offered up one of those spoonfuls outside of the Beis HaMikdash, chayev, he is liable. However, Rabbi Elazar Peter Adjak v'zasheni, according to Rabbi Elazar, he is exempt unless he also offers up the second spoonful. However, echon b'fnim echon bachutz, if he already offered up one inside the Beis HaMikdash, and then he offers up the second spoonful outside, chayev, he is liable, even according to Rabbi Elazar. Now, we learned earlier on in the Masechta that although ideally there are different amounts of applications of the blood on the Mizbeach for different korbanos. Some korbanos require the blood to be thrown on two opposite corners, some on all four corners individually. Other korbanos only require one application of the blood. However, for the vast majority of korbanos, b'di'eved, meaning once it has been done, even if he only applied the blood just once, that service would still be considered to be valid. And as such, Hazorim Mitzazon Bachutz, one who throws some of the blood outside of the Beis HaMikdash, for example, he only applies the blood once on one corner of the Mizbeach, Chayev, he would be liable. And the truth is, this also applies to the Korbonos, which are not valid unless all of the applications are applied, because even in that case, the application which was applied, that itself is valid. They might need to, if they haven't got the remainder of the blood, they might need to slaughter another korban and get blood again, and continue applying it on the other corners of the Mizbeach, but they will not need to replace that blood which was already put onto the Mizbeach. That is considered to be totally valid, and therefore, he would be liable for applying any blood on the Mizbeach outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Lozo says, Avam Nasich Mechog Bechog Bachutz, even one who pours water which had been designated for the Nisuch HaMayim on Sukkos, this was a particular service done only on Sukkos where they would pour water on the Mizbeach. If someone took the water which was designated for that purpose and he poured it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, intending to perform that service outside, Bachutz, Chayev, he is liable, because according to Rabbi Lozo, this is also considered to be a sort of offering like similar to a korban. Now, in the beginning of the fifth perek of this Masechta, we learned that once the blood of korbanos has been applied to the Mizbeach, as it needs to be done, so the remaining part of the blood, which is still in the utensil, at least for certain korbanos, should be poured on the yesoid, which is the base which protruded slightly out of the bottom of the Mizbeach. That having been said, the Mishnah said explicitly that even if this was not done, that wouldn't invalidate the korban. However, Rabbi Nechemiah argues, and according to Rabbi Nechemiah, there are certain korbanos, specifically the korbanos chatos, whose blood is supposed to be thrown on the inner Mizbeach, inside the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the Heichal. And for these korbanos, if you don't pour the remaining part of the blood to the bottom of the Mizbeach, the outer Mizbeach, that's where they would pour the remaining part of the blood, then the entire service and automatically the entire korban is invalidated. So he looks at this part, this pouring of the remaining of the blood onto the base of the Mizbeach, as a real necessary part of the service. And according to that, Rabbi Nechemiah says, Shiyori hadom shekivon bachutz, the remaining part of that blood, if he offered it up outside of the Beis HaMikdash, chayev, meaning if he poured it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, chayev, he would be liable, because that's considered to be an intrinsic part of the service. It's worth noting something fascinating over here, that the fifth perek of this Masechta, which is the perek which taught that the pouring of the rest of the blood is not a totally necessary part of the service, that is the perek of Ezer Mekoimon, which one is supposed to say every day. It summarizes the basic process of the korbanos, and one of the main reasons given for why we're supposed to say that every day is because it is a full perek of Mishnayos, which does not contain any arguments. And that's why the Chazal instituted that we should say this perek specifically every day. Well, the truth is, we can see in this Mishnah that that's not entirely accurate. It's true that in the perek itself, there's no argument, it's not mentioned. However, we can see over here that one of those laws mentioned in that perek is disputed upon by Rabbi Nechemiah. Just something fascinating to note. Anyway, Mishnah Zayin. Instead of the regular process of shechita, slaughtering a animal, when one offers up a bird korban, we've seen already that the shechita is replaced by melika. Melika is when the kohen kills the bird with his sharp thumbnail from the back of its neck, and although a bird is also a regular bird, which is not a korban, requires a regular shechita. Specifically, a bird korban requires a melika. And the Mishnah says, HaMelika Sa'oif Bifnim, one who performs melika on a bird inside the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, and then Vehela Bachutz, he offered it up outside the Beis HaMikdash, Chayev, he is liable for offering up a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. However, Molak Bachutz, if he performed the melika outside of the Beis HaMikdash, since melika is a unique way of killing the bird, which in general is a totally invalid way. If somebody performs melika to kill a regular bird, then it's forbidden to eat that bird. It's not a valid way of slaughtering. And in the same way, if he performs melika on a bird which is supposed to be a korban, but he performs the melika outside of the Beis HaMikdash, so it's also not a valid way of killing the animal, and therefore this korban is totally invalid, and as such, v'hela bachutz, if he offers up that bird outside, potter, he is exempt, because it's a totally invalid korban. Hashoichet es ha'oif bifnim, one who performs shechita on a bird korban inside the Beis HaMikdash. So since he's slaughtering inside in the courtyard, now the required way of killing that bird is via melika, with a thumbnail, not a regular slaughtering with a knife. And if he performs a regular slaughtering with a knife, a regular shechita, then that is considered to be invalidating the korban. So if he did the shechita inside, v'hela b'chutz, and then he offered up that bird outside, potter, he would be exempt. Shochat b'chutz, interestingly now, the Mishnah says if he slaughtered with a knife outside of the Beis HaMikdash, so the slaughtering is a valid slaughtering because it's being done outside the Beis HaMikdash. It's just that for the sake of a korban, this is not the required way of killing the bird. However, this is not considered to be a total nevela, an animal which is forbidden to eat, as if it had died without any valid slaughtering. It had been slaughtered in a correct way, because every bird which is killed outside the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be killed via shechita. And therefore, in this case, the Hela B'chutz, if he offered it up outside, chayev, he would be liable. Nimtza, it emerges that derech hechsheirim b'fnim, the way of killing which makes it fit inside the Beis HaMikdash, i.e. melika peturei b'chutz, that would exempt him if he performed that outside the Beis HaMikdash, whereas derech hechsheirim b'chutz, the way of killing the bird which would make it fit outside, meaning if he slaughtered it with a regular shechita, although technically speaking it doesn't validate it, one is forbidden to offer that up outside the Beis HaMikdash, or even he can't offer that up as a korban because at the end of the day a shechita is performed on the bird, not a melika. But nevertheless, it's considered to have been invalidated on a lower level. Petura b'fnim, that would exempt him if he did it inside the Beis HaMikdash, if he performed a regular shechita in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, and then he offered it up outside, he would be exempt since the korban is totally invalid. Now the Gemara adds that the Mishnah is now missing a line, and the Mishnah teaches that if somebody slaughters a korban, a regular korban, we're no longer talking about a bird, a regular korban he slaughters inside the courtyard, and he slaughters it at night. Now the slaughtering is one of the services in the procedure of bringing a korban, and therefore it cannot be performed at night. And that would invalidate the korban, such that if somebody offered up the korban outside the Beis HaMikdash, he would be exempt. However, if he slaughtered the korban at night outside of the Beis HaMikdash, then he is liable if he then offers it up outside the Beis HaMikdash. Since the invalidation of a shechita being performed at night only is talking about a shechita which is done inside the Beis HaMikdash. If it's done outside of the Beis HaMikdash, it's invalid for a different reason, that you're not allowed to slaughter outside. But the fact that it's being done at night is only an invalidation when it comes to a slaughtering done inside the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Shimon, however, comes to argue on that last point, and Rabbi Shimon says, Kol shechayavon alav b'chutz, anything for which you would be liable for if it was done outside, chayavon al kayitzim b'fnim, you would likewise be liable if it was done inside. Meaning, just like if you slaughtered the animal outside at night, you are liable if you then offer it up outside. So too, if you slaughter the animal at night inside the Beis HaMikdash, you are liable if you then go ahead and offer it up outside the Beis HaMikdash. The reason for Rabbi Shimon is because Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion, like we learned at the beginning of the ninth perek, that if a korban is slaughtered at night, although that invalidates the korban, if it is then put onto the Mizbeach, it does not need to be taken down. So we see that Rabbi Shimon does not look at this as being totally, totally invalidated. It's still considered to be somewhat fit for the Mizbeach. And so too, if one offers it up outside the Beis HaMikdash, he would be valid for such an offering. Mishnah Ches, we saw at the end of Mishnah Vov the opinion of Rabbi Nechemiah regarding the Korbanos Chatos, whose blood is thrown on the Inner Mizbeach, inside the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the Heichal. The law is that the remaining part of the blood in the utensil needs to be thrown onto the base of the outer Mizbeach, which stood in the courtyard. And according to the Mishnah in the fifth perek, that's not considered a real intrinsic part of the service. And therefore, if somebody pulled out the remaining part of the blood outside of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, he would not be liable. But it's not considered to be a real service. On the other hand, Rabbi Nechemiah understands that it's considered a real service. And this mission is going to repeat Rabbi Nechemiah's law in a slightly different fashion. Hachatos, a korban chatos, whose blood is supposed to be thrown on the inner Mizbeach, shekibel dom b'chais echad, whose blood was received in one cup, one utensil. Nosen b'chutz, if he applied the blood on a Mizbeach outside of the Beis HaMikdash, v'chozov nosen b'fnim, and then he applied the remaining part of the blood inside the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mizbeach in the courtyard. or bifnim if he applied the blood first on the inner mizbeach, and then he applied the remaining blood outside of the entire Beis HaMikdash, chayev, he is liable, specifically according to Rabbi Nechemiah, for the second situation in the Mishnah, because only according to Rabbi Nechemiah is pouring the remaining part of the blood considered to be a real service. Shekulei ro'i lovid if bifnim, because all of the blood is fitting to come and be applied inside the Beis HaMikdash, in the courtyard, on the Mizbeach in the courtyard. Now what happens if kibbol dam b'shnei kosos, if the kohen received the blood of the korban chatas, or of any korban, in two different cups, that is perfectly permitted. However, the law is in such a situation that once he throws the blood from one cup towards the Mizbeach, that is considered to be a dichui, which literally means a pushing aside of the other cup. The other cup has, so to speak, been pushed aside, and the kohen has shown that he's using the first cup of blood, and therefore the remaining blood is invalid. That is what difference it makes if one receives the blood in two cups. Be as it may, says the Mishnah, Nosan Shneim Bifnim, if he applies both of the cups of blood on the Mizbeach in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, Potter, he will be exempt, obviously, because it's inside the Beis HaMikdash. Shneim Bachutz, if he applies both cups of blood outside, Chayev, he is liable, and this time it could be he'll be liable twice. If in between throwing each cup he realizes that he did an Avera, then he would actually be liable to two Korbanos Chatas, because even once he applied the first cup of blood, there is no dichui towards the second cup, because that only happens if the first cup of blood was thrown on the Mizbeach in a valid way. Then we say that it pushes aside the second cup of blood, but in this case, where the first cup of blood was not thrown on the Mizbeach inside the Beis HaMikdash, so it never pushed aside the second cup of blood, and therefore one would still be liable for the second cup of blood. Echad bifnim, if he first applied the blood of the first cup in the Beis HaMikdash inside, so that was valid, so now we have a dichui towards the second cup of blood. We push aside the second cup of blood, and now it's invalid, and therefore the Echad bachutz, if you apply the remaining cup of blood outside of the Beis HaMikdash, potu, you are exempt, because that blood has been invalidated. Echad bachutz, echad bifnim. If you apply one cup of blood outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and then a cup inside, chayv alachitzain, you would be liable for the blood which you applied outside. And regarding the second cup, of course there was no dichui, it wasn't pushed aside, because the first cup of blood was not thrown on the Mizbeach, it was thrown outside. And therefore the second cup of blood is still valid, v'apnimim machaper, the blood which was thrown on the Mizbeach inside the Beis HaMikdash in the courtyard, that is actually valid and would provide an atonement as a valid service. The Mishnah now goes sidetracked to discuss another area of law where we see a similar idea. L'madar adomet, what is this matter comparable? L'mafresh chatosu v'ovdo, to somebody who separated a animal to be used as his korban chatos v'ovdo, and that animal got lost. So what did he do? V'hivish acheres tachtecha, he separated another animal instead of it. He designated that to be his korban chatos. And after that, the first animal which he had lost was then found. And now we have a situation where they are both standing there, and they've both been designated for the same korban chatos. Now obviously, not both of them can be bought on the Mizbeach, because as soon as one of them has been offered up, the other one no longer has a purpose. And the law is that the second animal, once the first one has bought the atonement by being offered up, the second animal needs to be left to die. So this is essentially an identical situation to what we just had, where if you throw one of the cups of blood, it, so to speak, pushes aside the second cup of blood, and the second cup of blood will be invalid. So says the Mishnah, Shachat Shnei Bifnim, if he slaughters both of the animals inside the courtyard, Potter, he's exempt. Obviously, he did no Avera of slaughtering outside the Beis HaMikdash. Shachat Shtein Bachutz, if he slaughtered both of the animals outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Chayev, he's liable for both of them. Achaz Bifnim, if he slaughters one of the animals inside the courtyard, so now that has been chosen as the one to be used as his korban, and the other one needs to be left to die. It cannot be used as the korban. So Achaz Bachutz, if he slaughters the other one outside, Potter, he'll be exempt because that animal is not fit to be brought as a korban. Achaz Bachutz, Achaz Bifnim, if he first slaughtered one of them outside and then slaughtered the other one inside, Chayv Alachitzayna, he's liable for having slaughtered the first one outside of the Beis HaMikdash, v'apanimis, whereas the animal which is slaughtered inside, mechaperes, that can provide an atonement, and it is fully valid. The Mishnah adds that in such situation, whether two animals designated to be a korban chatos, the second animal needs to be left to die, but until it's died, it's forbidden to benefit from it, because it's been designated as a korban, and if somebody does designate benefit from it, he'll be liable to the punishments of me'ila for benefiting from something which has been designated for the Beis HaMikdash or for a korban. However, the law is that as soon as the blood, k'shem shadoma protes besora, just like when the blood is thrown onto the Mizbeach, it exempts the meat from me'ila. Since it is now permitted to eat the meat of the korban, the punishment of me'ila no longer applies if somebody benefits from the meat. So interestingly, kachu potes pesach averta, the throwing of the blood of the valid korban chatos, also removes the prohibition, or the punishment at least, of me'ila if somebody eats the meat of the second korban chatos, which is now being left to die. And that is a law related more to that discussion over there regarding me'ila. Peregidale Mishnah Aleph, poras chatos. This is the Mishnah's way of referring to a pora aduma, the red cow, which was burnt into ashes, and the ashes were mixed with water, a certain solution was made, and that was sprinkled on people and utensils in order to purify them if they had become tome, they had become impure from a dead body. And the process which is done with this animal to turn it into ashes is done on Har HaZeisim, which is the mountain which stands opposite the Beis HaMikdash, and there's a particular place there where it needs to be done. And the Mishnah says, "Shesirofa chutz megita," if he burnt the ashes outside of that area which was designated for this purpose. V'chein sar hamishtaleach, the same applies to the goat which is thrown off the cliff on Yom Kippur. If somebody takes the goat which was designated for that purpose and he offers it up, she'kiru b'chutz, he offers up that animal outside of the Beis HaMikdash, in both of these cases, potter, he would be exempt, even though both of these actions, the burning of the paraduma and the offering up of an animal which has been designated as the animal to be thrown off the cliff, they are considered to be services. So you are performing a real service outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Nevertheless, you're exempt. Potter shenema, as the pasuk says, ve'el pesach oil moed lehevioi. The punishment for somebody who does a service outside of the Beis HaMikdash is in a case where he didn't bring it to the entrance of the oil moed, to the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash. So we learn from there that kol she'enu roi lo ve'el pesach oil moed, anything which is not fit to come to the entrance of the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash, it's a service which is supposed to be performed outside of the Beis HaMikdash, just in a particular place. So you perform that service outside the Beis HaMikdash in a different place. Since anyway the service is not supposed to be done in the Beis HaMikdash itself, so although you performed it in the wrong place, nevertheless, in Chayav Nalov, you would not be liable to the punishment for performing a service outside of the Beis HaMikdash.